One of the things I really enjoy is getting in the car and driving. Just saying to myself, I wonder what's over there. Let's go find out. So last night, we needed peace and quiet in the home. And so I took the three kids out. And we just drove. And I said, oh, we'll go over here and we'll look at this. And then the question comes up, but where are we going? And I say, I don't know. But we will eventually end up back home. So we go down Spack and Kill Road, we look at the waterfall by the hotel, and then I say, oh, here's a hill I've never been on. Let's go up the hill. And then here's a curve. I've never been here. Let's go. Let's find out what's over here. On and on we go. All of a sudden, I have no idea where I am. Like no clue. And it doesn't really bother me. And I'll tell you why in just a second. And so we just drive, and it's beautiful. This is a beautiful area. And then I realized, like, well, I look at the clock, and Barb's home cooking pizza. And so I say, well, I should probably get back home before dinner is on the table. And so I just, my trusty sidekick, my phone, I just press the button and say, give me directions home. And the phone, ever so helpful, says, in 400 feet, take a right on this road. And then we end up home, of course, and end up at church on Sunday morning. Here's the remarkable thing, is that it is very impressive to me that you can move across country, drive, not know where you're going, and not be lost. Right? But have you ever gone on a trip and you're lost, and you don't know your way back? And this kind of anxiety that kind of takes frustration out on everybody else in the car, right? Turn the music off, and everybody stop. I've got to think, you know, one of those, that kind of, that anxiety. So in life, I believe that there's a craving to feel like you're going somewhere. And sometimes we can feel lost. We can feel like we're drifting. And we sometimes ask ourselves, well, how do I even get back to where I want to be? Have you ever felt that way before? Like, I know many people who are out of church for, say, months or even years. And then eventually that question ends up kind of churning up inside of them and then bubbling up to the surface of, like, how do I even get back to where I want to be after all of these years? And what Paul says in Romans 12, there are two things that are signposts that will always lead you back to where you need to be. And it's these. The God who made you wonderfully loves you deeply. The God who made you, who created you, wonderfully, loves you deeply. And then second, you no longer belong to yourself, but you belong to God and others. And those are the signposts. And that if you keep those signs in front of you, it will lead you exactly where you need to be. The God who created you. So in the first 11 chapters of Romans, leading up to the chapter we read, Paul is making the case that the God who created you, the God who created all of this, has revealed himself from creation. But for some reason, we either hide from it or ignore it or don't know how to relate with God. And so we kind of shun. So we shun God, we don't think about it, we're threatened by God, or we relate to God, or we relate to God through guilt and shame. And so God, knowing this, is not content enough to just leave it up to the trees and the mountains and the rivers to reveal. He gives us Scripture, but then he also gives us Jesus Christ himself to prove to us that he loves us deeply. That Jesus, what have I heard? That everything that God ever wanted to say to you, he said in Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. And that as you live your life in that reality, it then changes how you look at yourself, how you look at others around you, and even how you relate to God, because then you no longer, because of Jesus Christ, you no longer relate to God as if He is a damning judge out to get you. That you're not trying to earn or proving yourself to God, but that it is all of grace. And then Paul says that this has a radical change in you because he says, well, you shouldn't think higher of yourself than you should. Now, we are people who like extremes, and so we say, well, that means I have to think of myself really low. But Paul says, no, think of yourself with sober judgment, with right judgment, with right judgment. And oftentimes we kind of, there's always two ways to fall off a fence, right? This way or that way. And either we think too highly and then we live in pride or arrogance, or we live in guilt and shame and we beat ourselves down. And Paul says, no, you are created by God and you are loved dearly by Him. Jesus Christ is proof of that. And so think rightly of yourself. So God takes us to Himself, brings us to Himself, and then puts us in a family called the church. And then how we relate to others then changes also. So in verse 3, he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And so what Paul says is this, that God loves you, has given you grace, has shown you grace. So therefore, it kind of changes how you think about yourself. But then it changes how you relate to other people in that God has given you a certain kind of gift, a certain kind of skill that you can use to be of benefit to other people so that through God's grace working in you, you no longer live for yourself. Isn't that good news, right? I mean, you're sitting there, I'm sure, sometimes saying, how can I be a better part of this wonderful congregation? And Paul says, well, God has given you a gift. And these gifts are varied person to person, but everyone has a way to contribute. And that changes things. So, how do we serve? Like, when we serve, when we raise our hand and say, yes, I want to serve. I want to be a part of this community. Well, it kind of changes how you live your life. Verse 9 says, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. All right, so there's a little competition for you competitive folks. Do not lag in zeal. Paul's saying, like, don't put your life on cruise control. Don't think that church just happens by itself. God, look around you right now. God has worked in everyone's life and has put us together as a family. And therefore, we should be zealous. We should be extroverted and excited and happy about the evidence of this and want to make it better. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. So, today in the annual meeting, but in the Sundays, and let's be honest, in the years ahead, I will say, and I will always have a call to action of how can you participate in the life of the church? How can you get off the bench and onto the playing field? How do you know what to say yes to? So there's an epidemic in most churches, and the epidemic is this, and it's almost in every volunteer organization, where a few people do a lot of the work, right? And so then that forces people to say yes when they shouldn't say yes, okay? I think that we want to be a church where everyone knows the plan and knows that they can fit in one way or the other and can say yes. And then if everybody says yes, then it allows the people who have said way too many yeses to say no. Amen? Right? Right? Isn't that good? It's good to say no. It's good to say no. Right? So how do you know? How do you know what to say yes to? Because in the annual meeting, you're going to get a full view of what the life of the church is. So how do you know what to say yes to? Well, I thought about the introduction, and there's no coincidence that the three things are GPS, right? Gifts, passions, and skills. When your passions or your skills intersects a need in the world, that is when you know that you're at the right spot. And that is when you can think about saying yes. Something that you're gifted in doing, something that you're passionate about, and something that you have skills, something that you're skillful at. And can I just say this? I want you to know, if you say yes, it's not a yes forever. And when you say no, it's not a no forever. Sometimes it's a no, and sometimes it's a not yet. So we're going to give grace to one another, an understanding of that. And when someone volunteers, we don't want to say, tag, you're it, and then run. Right? We don't want that, right? But I can tell you this, and what you're going to see in the annual report, and if you can't stay for the annual meeting, we can email you a copy. We'll have paper copies available. Is that our church, and it'll be revealed to, has a lot of contact with the community beyond Sunday morning. And I think that you really want to be a part of something good and true and beautiful in the world. And so think about your GPS. Think about what you're gifted, passionate, and skilled at. And then see if that overlaps with a need or a desire in the church body. And then see what God might do. You belong to God. And Paul says, you belong to one another. So we're going to care for one another. Right? We're going to care for one another. We're going to encourage. We're going to pray. We're going to persevere. And God's going to use us to do very beautiful things in this church, in this community, and in this region. Friends, we do it because there's only one person who has ever walked perfectly in the ways of righteousness. And that is Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. And it is because of Him and the demonstration and the love and grace that He has demonstrated to us that we are able to go forward in hope and grace. So friends, let's continue to worship the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You that Jesus said no to the right things, that He said yes to the right things, and that He entrusted 12 people who didn't quite have it together because He knows that the power of Your Spirit working in people's hearts brings about beautiful things in this world. So please do that with us. So please reveal to us what we're our gifts, our passions, our skills. Help us to inspire and recruit and excite, and that You would help us to say yes as much as possible, but also to do that wisely. And that You would continue to change lives both inside and outside these walls. So we give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.